This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We're right back to WEEI.
Hour number two here on WEEI. Ball and Lions. Lions and Ball, however you organize it. It's great to be with you, Dan Ball, John Lyons, in for Ken and Curtis here on this Saturday, taking you up until 1 o'clock here on Boston Sports Original. John, the Patriots wrap up what has been an immensely successful season this weekend at home against the Miami Dolphins. 4:25 kickoff tomorrow. The game will air on Fox. I was checking this morning just to make sure I had it right. So of the games of impact in the AFC that Patriots fans care about. Titans at the Jaguars, Colts at the Texans, Jets at the Bills, Chargers at the Broncos, and then the Patriots game. Only the Bills game will not be shown in market. So there's going to be 2 1 o'clock games, 2 4 o'clock games shown in the greater Boston area, both on CBS and on Fox locally. So you can be locked into everything that's happening in an AFC playoff picture that still has a lot to be sorted out here in the final week of the regular season. So Miami Dolphins, New England Patriots. If there wasn't the headline-laden week that was, of course, that's a huge factor as we just discussed, but take that out of the equation for just a moment. Are there things about this Miami Dolphins team that you view as a matchup issue for the Patriots this week?
It's funny, Dan, because the first thing that comes to mind is Devon Achane in that run game, but you look at the injury report, Achane hasn't been practicing. He was listed as doubtful on the injury report yesterday, so I don't think he's necessarily going to play. If he does, again, that's one of the best running backs in the NFL.
Yep.
If he doesn't play, I still want to see what do we get from Miami when it comes to the run game and the red zone offensively, because Miami's red zone offense, middle of the pack, it's 16th. Patriots have the worst red zone defense in the NFL, right? So how do they handle that? Another thing, too, and we can get into this a little more later, is I think special teams could play a real role in this game. You go back to that week two game the Patriots won, they gave up a punt return touchdown. Then Antonio Gibson had the kick return touchdown right after it. But Miami, sixth in the league in punt return average, including that one for a touchdown against the Patriots. So when you think of, like, how does Miami win this game? Because, like, they're on the road. End of a tough season for them. Like, they're a big underdog. I think the path for Miami giving the Patriots problems in this game is, can they run the ball effectively, especially if Achane isn't there? And do they get a big play or two from special teams? Like, that to me, when I think about how can Miami really give the Patriots a game here, maybe win?
Yeah.
That's the path for them. It's not going up and down the field. That's the path for it.
So you're seeing your third full game from Quinn Ewers, yep, who in his first two games, 260 passing yards and two picks against the Bengals, then against the Bucs, wins the game, 172 passing yards, two touchdowns, no picks. To see the spread of the targets for Ewers was kind of interesting. 2 weeks ago, 72 yards to Jaylen Waddle, who is,
I believe is listed as questionable going in, and it's going to be interesting to see how much he plays if he plays. Their tight end, Greg Dulcich, had 46 yards, 40 to Darren Waller, who was just put on IR, and 23 to Malik Washington. No yards on, I think, one target each to Waller and Waddle last week. So the injuries are all around this offense right now and all around their rookie quarterback, with Waller going on IR, unlikely to play, as you mentioned, with Devon Achane, and then Jalen Waddle has kind of been in and out of practice so far this week. So their offense doesn't present a lot, but as you mentioned, you know, there are a couple of specific areas for the Patriots that you want to see them try to put the clamps on, which is that run defense. You want to see that improve at least a little bit before you get into a playoff matchup, and you would like to see a little bit more productivity in that red zone. But there just isn't a ton in this matchup. If you looked at the roster for the Miami Dolphins in week 2 and you look at what we're seeing here in week 18, you see a year that has been a mess for a Miami Dolphins team that chose to keep their coach, which is a decision that I don't think a lot of us would have expected, but they did. And he's an offensive mind that loves a lot of pre-snap motion, loves a lot of play action. There are a lot of different wrinkles into the way that Mike McDaniel coaches an offense. There just isn't simply the talent that this team had at the beginning of the season, where I'm not overly worried about them being able to execute it, as many wrinkles as he does have.
And I think, though, you got to be careful that you don't fall into the trap where this is just going to be like the Jets game last week, because the Jets just rolled over and basically quit at halftime of that, really even before halftime of that game.
Yeah.
Whereas Miami, like you mentioned, they decide to keep Mike McDaniel. But if I'm Mike McDaniel, I want to go out and do everything I can to win this game, because if the Dolphins have a really bad outing, does that sway ownership's opinion? Quinn Ewers, same thing, because Miami, I would think, is going to probably draft a quarterback in the first round. I think they're going to try to move on from Tua.
Yeah.
But if Quinn Ewers, if he can hang his hat on, hey, I beat the Bucs, and then I went to Foxborough and played really well against the MVP Drake May, and maybe beat the Patriots, maybe that sways some decision makers. And it might not, but I think a lot of these guys have a lot more to play for than, say, the Jets last week. So like, sure. I don't expect this to be they're up 28-3 or 35-3 at halftime. The other team quits. Josh Dobbs can waltz in midway through the third quarter and they're fine. And again, maybe the Patriots will choose to rest some guys. We'll see what the outcome of that Jaguars game is. But I just think this is going to be, again, Patriots should win, but this is going to be a more physical, more difficult game than last week against the Jets.
The Ewers conversation is also an interesting one, because I believe it was going into the 24 college season. I mean, he was a guy that was supposed to be near the top of a lot of people's draft boards.
I mean, he held off Arch Manning.
Right.
The guy, Arch Manning, the chosen one.
Right.
People were saying, oh, if he comes out this year, he'll be a top 10 pick. Quinn Ewers held him off.
Yeah.
And got to the Final Four, or college semifinal, 2 years in a row. And I know they didn't win. I get it. But to your point, it's an intriguing guy. And again, it just goes back to, like, last week, what did the Jets really have to play for in that game? Whereas this week, like, Mike McDaniel might have something in this game. Quinn Ewers might have something in this game. So that's where, again, I think the Patriots, like Josh McDaniel said to you yesterday, they're going for it and they're going to try to win. And we'll see how deep they go on that.
Right, right.
But it's, again, it's going to be a tougher matchup than what they have with the Jets last week, especially the way, again, whether Achane's healthy or not, the way Miami can run the ball.
They're 6-3 in their last 9 are the Dolphins. Wins against the Falcons, the Bills, the Commanders, the Saints, the Jets, and then last week against the Bucs, they lost to the Bengals, lost to the Steelers, and lost to the Ravens. So just trouble with the AFC North in general in this stretch run. But there has been a response from this Dolphins group with their backs up against the wall, even despite changing quarterbacks and making a couple deals at the deadline. There has been a response to get themselves now within 2 games of 500 entering the last week of the regular season. The injury report for the Patriots, John: Harold Landry, Robert Spillane, Jared Wilson, Kyrus Tonga, all out. Jack Westover, questionable. Before we get into the guys that implies will be in, the guys that aren't: Landry, Spillane, and Tonga on the defense. Another week in which your run defense and your ability to tackle is severely hampered by the injuries you have.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, too, when you project to the playoffs, I was hoping you would get a game of Spillane before the playoffs. Just because, again, it's really difficult when you're out for 2, 3, 4 weeks, like Milton Williams and Will Campbell and Spillane, if your first game back is a playoff game.
Yeah.
Not insurmountable, but it is more difficult. So I was hoping for another game from Spillane, kind of ramp up a little bit before the playoffs. But also at the same time, if he's really not there yet, I don't want to go overboard and maybe get them hurt worse. But it's just, it's unfortunate it didn't work out that way. And you're right, it does hamper their run defense. And what I want to see, too, is how does this defense do on first down and second down? Because Miami, 27th in the league on third down, they have a young quarterback. We've seen the Patriots take advantage of young quarterbacks this year, whether it was Dylan Gabriel, Cam Ward, right, Spencer Rattler. They've been able to take advantage of some of those guys. Can you get Miami into third and long and force Quinn Ewers to try to beat you and not rely on that running game? So again, that's where Kyrus Tonga would come in. That's where Robert Spillane would come in. Harold Landry's probably more like, if they get to third down, he would come in. But that's one of the things I'm watching for with this defense. How do they do on first and second down? Can they force a bad third down team in Miami with a young quarterback into some of those third mediums and third and longs?
And conversely, the implication with that injury report is that Milton Williams will be activated off the IR. You're adding who was easily the most important run stopper that you had, who's been out now for the last four games in 5 weeks with the bye. So I would imagine that that's a kind of guy who immediately makes up for a lot of the sins that you had in your run defense, just inserting such a major presence back in the middle of
that.
It's
a great point, because I feel like this defense started, when Milton Williams went out, they started to struggle against the run. When Spillane went out, it increased their struggles against the run. And you just look at it, before Milton Williams goes down, they're holding opponents to like 50 yards a game running the ball. Quote unquote, historically good. I think it was a little overrated, but still, quote unquote, like that, they were really good.
Yeah, because you didn't have a running back go over 50 yards till, what was it? Was Sean Tucker with the Buccaneers was the first running back to go over something in that realm. That's a lot of season that you didn't have that happen.
Exactly. And then you look at when they have struggled since those injuries, like second half against Buffalo, James Cook torched them and Josh Allen got outside the pocket. And it really was when Josh Allen got outside the pocket and got on the move that really hurt them in the pass game. They gave up those five straight touchdown drives. And then the Baltimore game, Derrick Henry averaged 7 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Like, if Baltimore doesn't pull him, they very well might win that game. And look, Drake May in the offense was incredible in that fourth quarter. They did. I'm not trying to take that away from them. I'm just, like, the run defense really struggled against Buffalo, really struggled against Baltimore, even last week. And, like, they gave up the 59-yarder to Breece Hall. That was with backups in. I thought they were better last week against the run. With Milton Williams this week, I think it's a good test. If Milton Williams plays, even if Achane doesn't, it is a Dolphins team that, A, can run the ball well, but also, like you kind of alluded to this earlier with Mike McDaniel, does a lot of different things in the run game.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good test for the run defense with Milton Williams potentially back before you head into the playoffs. Because whoever you play in the first playoff game, whether it's Buffalo or the Chargers, they're going to try to come to Foxborough and run the ball. Like, James Cook is Buffalo's second best player.
Yeah.
The Chargers are going to want to run the ball, especially with Herbert's hand broken. I think that's a good test for the Patriots going into the playoffs.
So a heavy dosage of Jalen Wright, that's who you're going to see a lot of, assuming that that Achane doesn't play. Ollie Gordon, Donovan Edwards also in that backfield. And then Alec Ingold, in reading up a little bit on the Dolphins, they love to have two backs. Ingold is a huge part of what they do, establishing the run in the early downs. Conversely, for the Patriots, in addition to Milton Williams coming back, will get better soon. Campbell has now gotten better, and he rejoins the mix on the offensive line with Jared Wilson missing the game this week. But I gotta be honest, I didn't notice the absence of Will Campbell on the offensive line nearly as much as I think I thought we were going to, and I think a lot of fans thought we were going to. Vidarian Lowe, from simply a PFF grade perspective, and I know that you can poke a million holes in the way that they grade, didn't grade out as poorly. I think it was against the passes a lot of people thought that he did last season. But I was extremely encouraged with the way that he was able to fill in for Will Campbell while he was out.
He did a better job than I expected. I know you can point to the second half of last year that he had some, you know, there was injuries, and when he wasn't injured, there were some good moments there. But Will Campbell is a much better player than him.
And well, I think,
but just not to state the obvious, but I think when you lose a guy like that, and you have a young quarterback who's playing at an MVP level, there's always a concern that, hey, how is this guy going to hold up? And I think he held up pretty well. And Will Campbell's another guy. Like, I talked about this with Spillane earlier. I want him to have one game back before the playoffs to ramp himself up, because you're not going to have Jared Wilson this weekend in concussion protocol. So can you at least have Will Campbell? Because remember, this offensive line, four of the five starters are different from last year. Mike Onwenu was the only holdover. So the more you can get as many of those guys together as possible before you go play a playoff game, I think is important. And it's funny, you go back to this time last year, we were talking about, where are the Patriots going to draft? Is it going to be the one pick, the four pick, the five, whatever? And he was a name that, and you know this, you've been on the radio every day, very controversial name for a lot of people in New England in March, in April, in May. And I think he's had a good season, especially for a rookie. And I think a lot of those people that were worried about his arm length, can he play tackle and this and that, looks like a guy that's going to be a tackle for a long time, and a guy that I think if you're going to go on a deep playoff run, he's going to have to be part of it.
Yeah, there was a consensus. Maybe it was the minority of the fan base who was interacting with us, but there was a consensus of, oh, yeah, he profiles out as a guard long term, which he was regarded amongst that draft class, as you mentioned, as basically the worst of all evils that you could pick from, assuming that Travis Hunter was off the board, Abdul Carter was off the board. But he has been he's been a revelation, I think, compared to expectation. And he's also become such an important part of Drake May's growth into a franchise quarterback, the face of the franchise, all the things that you wanted to see on field, first and foremost. I was really taken aback to see, I think it was during last week's game, where they showed him on the sideline and he had an earpiece in.
Yep.
He is more intimately involved in this offense as a rookie than I think maybe a lot of people would have expected. I was chatting with Andy off air, and he was explaining how that is as much of a rarity as it looked like to have him, you know, that kind of a level of involved despite being on IR, even traveling with the group. But also, There's a friendship there. There's a comfort of two Southern guys, and he calls them Big Country, and they're sitting on the sidelines at the courtside at the Celtics, and he's over for Christmas and part of Bakemas and all that kind of stuff. So there's been such a duo that's been established between quarterback and left tackle. The guy that on stage said, "I will fight and die to protect my quarterback," that I think there's been a lot of an impact off the field for Will Campbell on the development of Drake May and the comfort of the quarterback as there has been on the field.
It's a great point. And I'd throw Jared Wilson into that too, because
sure,
it's very rare for a team to have two rookies on the quarterback's blind side and everything go pretty smoothly for that. And I know Jared Wilson had some inconsistent moments. I think it was that Saints game. He was really bad, thinking back on it too. And I know the Myles Garrett game, he had five sacks, which was partly on Campbell, partly on Wilson, partly on their tight ends who couldn't block off the edge either.
Tough.
But, and also Myles Garrett's a Hall of Famer, but he had the five. So I know there was some down moments, but on the whole, like if you zoom out, you had two rookies on the left side of your offensive line and you ran the ball. Okay. You were inconsistent in the run game, but for the most part, you've run the ball reasonably well. You've protected Drake May reasonably well all year. And it feels like those guys over the course of the year have gotten better. Like, it felt like when Will Campbell got injured, he was a better player than the guy in August. And we'll see how he looks coming back. Jared Wilson feels like a better player now than the guy we saw in August.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, and credit to Doug Marrone, too, offensive line coach. But I think that's a big part of it, too, and that now you look at your offense and you can say, hey, you got the second-year quarterback, the two rookies on the left side of the line, Travion Henderson, a rookie, Kyle Williams had some great moments. We'll see if he can put it together. You have some real building blocks, young building blocks to kind of look towards the future. And I think, again, Will Campbell's been a huge part of that, but I think Jared Wilson deserves mention as well.
And, well, Will Campbell, not Jared Wilson, will be on display. Patriots take on the Miami Dolphins tomorrow, 4:25 kickoff at Gillette. Football Sunday begins at 10 a.m. here on Sunday on WEEI. You got Ted Johnson and the crew with you pregame, and then you got Fitzy and Hart on the Six Rings postgame show postgame. So wall-to-wall coverage of the NFL and the Patriots here on WEEI. We'll continue our conversation on the Patriots. Plus, we'll continue our year in review for the Boston sports teams, better or worse in a year's time. We continue that conversation after David Azer gets you caught up on what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
DSW. birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, Dan Ball, John Lyons. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to get in touch with us. We'll continue our Patriots preview over the course of the show. But, John, during each hour, we're doing a year-in-review for a team within the Boston sports realm, the Big Four, so to speak. And on December 31st, 2024, the Boston Celtics beat the Toronto Raptors 125-71. They did so with a starting lineup of Jason Tatum, Al Horford, Jrue Holiday, Derek White, and Jaylen Brown. No Kristaps Porzingis available for that one, but I think the starting lineup tells the story. A couple days ago, the Celtics were in Sacramento to take on the 8-26, now 8-26 Kings. They started with a lineup of Nemeas Queta, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Peyton Pritchard, and Jordan Walsh. So those five names compared to the previous five names probably tell enough of a story as it is, but this has been a rather unprecedented year, I would say, for the Celtics in terms of where they were coming into the previous season, returning 15 of 17 members of their roster and seeming primed for another run at a championship. They go through a playoff run, get knocked out by the Knicks. In the process, they lose their superstar, Jason Tatum, then go through a sale, go through a roster rebuild. And yet we sit here with a team that's 21-12 and still right in the middle of things in the Eastern Conference. So this year has featured an up, a down, an up, a down, and pretty much everything in between for the Celtics.
It's been arguably one of the craziest years for any team in sports. Like, you mentioned that December 31st game in 24. Like, the Celtics entered 2025 as the favorites to repeat as champions. And then they get to that Knicks series, and Tatum gets hurt. But remember, in that game before he got hurt, they were well on their way to being down 3-1 anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Blow the two 20-point leads in games 1 and 2. Porzingis has that mystery illness, which to this day, if you ask me what's the biggest reason the Celtics lost to the Knicks, I think it was his illness more than anything else. Because we talk about how they shot way too many threes in games 1 and 2, and I'm not disputing that, but if you remember, he was the guy that when threes weren't falling, they would throw it into him in the post, and points per possession-wise on post-ups, one of the best players in the NBA the past 2 years.
Yeah.
They didn't have that option. They stopped driving the basket. And also, the Knicks were mentally and physically tougher than them. And then you get to the offseason, and they have a decision to make. Because I've felt all along that Jason Tatum would come back this year. But it wasn't a guarantee. And you have that second apron. And they're really, Dan, the first team in the second apron era to be blown up because of a second. Now, look, The Warriors let Klay Thompson go, but there was multiple injuries there. There were some other concerns there. Phoenix blew their team up, but they ended up not being a contender like they thought they would be. Like, this was the, and even Denver, like, they let, what, Bruce Brown go after that championship season, but they still had Jokic and Murray and Gordon. This was the first team, I mean, they took out basically five out of their top seven rotation players.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Holiday, Porzingis, Horford, even, like, throw in Luke Kornet. Like, that's the guy who would have been your starting center this year, but left and went to San Antonio. So they've had a year that it's tough to find something to compare it to, how all over the place it's been. And now we sit here, and they're a top three seed in the East
right.
without any of those.
They shouldn't be anywhere near the spot that they are in the Eastern Conference right now, given the year that they've had, as you talk about. The amount of, and not just the sheer players that you took away. You're talking about veterans, guys that have won championships, plural.
In Holiday's case, yeah.
Right. Leaders, I mean, the emotional leader in kind of almost captain of the team, and Al Horford, a guy that's meant so much to a lot of the young guys that are now at center stage for the Celtics. It would have been easy to see this team, and a lot of people picked them in the, I don't know, 45-ish win category. People were debating.
That's where I was at. I was like 44, 45 wins.
And yeah. I looked at it and said, I thought the high watermark for me, I had them finishing fifth in the Eastern Conference. But if you sat here and argued they're around a 500 team, they're a play-in team, they're a play-in tournament team when all is said and done, I don't think anybody would have batted an eyelash, because you just didn't know what you had in Jordan Walsh and Namish Keita and Baylor Shireman and J.D. Davison and these guys, the kind of next wave.
Jordan Walsh has been a revelation for them. I mean, since they put him in the starting lineup, he's been – and Jaylen Brown's playing like an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
But there's two things that I think really leveled up the Celtics, because let's not forget, they started 0-3.
Yeah.
And things look kind of bad in that 0-3 start. But to me – it really, things turned after, and I want to make sure I get the date right,
yeah.
That November 3rd game against Utah, where they went 11 for 51 from three, and I know that was the lead story, but also they lost that game on an offensive rebound putback. And ever since then, they've been better on the boards. It feels like they've been moving the ball better offensively, and it's something that Justin Turpin has said before, that he always felt they were going to figure it out this year. The concern was, are they going to figure it out in January when it's too late?
Yeah.
And it feels like they kind of figured it out after that game. Because since then, again, they've been one of the best teams in the NBA. I think Jordan Walsh has been a huge part of it. Obviously, Jaylen Brown. But I think another guy is that kind of coincided with Derek White breaking out of his slump. Remember how bad he was the first 2.5, 3 weeks of the season?
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of, I don't know if it was him adjusting to being now the number two guy. It was just a slump like he had last year in December and January. But since he's broken out of that slump, it's been a different team, really.
And a lot of times when, you know, we'll come in for the afternoon show the next day and I'll be writing my trending report. A lot of times when we're reporting on Celtics losses, which luckily have been few and far between, to your point, that loss against Utah was their fifth of the season. They were 3-5 at the time when they lose that game. They've lost six games since. So, yeah. I mean, it's been a complete 180 in terms of the production. And a lot of times when we do come in and report on these rare Celtics losses, the number that we'll read is, oh, Jaylen Brown scored 32 points, but no other Celtics player had more than 12 or something like that. So it's really been the either presence or absence of that number two to Jaylen Brown's number one. But another development that's happened now in the back half of 2025 is the emergence of Jaylen Brown as a guy who can handle being a number one. He himself believed and made it pretty apparent in years past that he thought he deserved the opportunity. He thought he was more than capable of being a team's number one, but he voiced it on a stream. He spoke a lot with, I believe it was Tracy McGrady, who argued that you need to value winning more than chasing that number one title and the money that comes along with it. And he has emerged as a guy who is now getting legitimate consideration for the MVP of the league, and I think a lot of people thought he was going to be good. I don't know if he had MVP finalist on the resume for him this year.
It's a great point, and you look at Jaylen Brown's, like, I think there's a twofold thing here, right? So look at his numbers, sixth in the NBA in scoring, 29.5 points a game, 6.5 rebounds a game. His offensive rating is 120.4. He's got a 4.2 positive net rating. Like, number-wise, he's been good.
Yep.
Right? So the numbers are there. But I think you also got to look at the other context of it, where this is a team that lost a top five player in the NBA in Jason Tatum. They lose Porzingis. They lose Holiday. They lose Horford. They lose Cornette. They lose all these guys, and they're a top three seed in the East. Like, that's an MVP case in itself. And I also think part of being the MVP, Dan, and we've seen this with Jokic, especially when he's won the MVP, and I'm not directly comparing Brown to Jokic, but you make guys around you better.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the – Jordan Walsh has gotten better during the season. Nemus Cade has gotten better during the season. Even, and, like, Pritchard was good. He won sixth man of the year before. But it feels like even he's gotten better as the season's gone along. And I think Jaylen Brown is a huge part of that. Ugo Gonzalez. Like, what a revelation. He's a guy now that you have to play every night.
Yep.
Especially defensively. But he's a guy you have to play every night. And part of that is he's been playing professionally for years because he came from Europe. But it feels like Jaylen Brown is making guys around him better. And these guys fit so well with Jaylen Brown because it's not as much of a three-heavy operation as it was the last couple of years. And look, they should still shoot a bunch of threes. But it's so much more movement-based, it feels like now. They're shooting more twos, and the threes are still important, don't get me wrong. But it just feels like these guys fit well with Brown, and to his credit, he's made those guys better. That's something we knew Tatum could do. Now we see it with Jaylen Brown.
And it's a nuanced thing where it's not just, oh, Jaylen Brown is distributing the ball more, because his assist numbers don't blow you away. He oftentimes isn't even the Celtics leader in assists or the number that was cited at the beginning of the year.
But it feels like
was,
he's making good passes. Like, even earlier in the year when they were losing games, those potential assist numbers, I know a lot of people like to talk
about. Took the words right out of my mouth.
They were through the roof, right?
They were.
And guys were missing shots. But it feels like, and I don't have a firm number for this, but like, you watch them play, and the amount of times Jaylen Brown passes to a guy who's wide open, now whether he makes it or misses it, but he's making good passes to guys that are open in the flow of the offense. And I think that's been something that's been really nice to see from the offense, especially as they've grown, again, especially since that Utah loss in early November, as they've grown as an offense.
And so that leaves us at a team that once again is a competitor for the Eastern Conference. Seems as though, as we now move into 2026 and look at this from a preview perspective, this is a team that's a top team in the Eastern Conference with Jason Tatum having not impacted the team one bit. So I think you're at the point where you have to look at this team and go, well, they can at least compete for a spot in Eastern Conference final.
If Tatum comes back, I think they're going to be in the Eastern Conference finals.
Going to be. That's pretty definitive.
And look, obviously I'm a Celtics fan, but like, just look around. They've already beaten Cleveland twice. They've beaten Orlando. They've beaten Detroit. They've beaten the Knicks. And I know those are regular season games, but at some point you're beating all these teams.
Right.
And then you're going to add a top five player in the NBA. And look, they still need help in the front court. All due respect to Nemus Cata. Like, they're going to have to add to the front court.
Yeah.
But then you look around the East, and I know the playoffs are a different level of intensity, but I mean, did the Cavs scare you that much in a playoff series if you have a healthy Tatum and Brown? Does Orlando, if they're there? Does Atlanta? Does Miami?
Does anybody other than
I would
than
say
the Knicks
are legit.
Okay.
And even you go back to last year, like, Indiana's not going to be in it, obviously. No Halliburton, no Miles Turner anymore. Like, they're out.
Right.
Orlando, to me, has been, I thought Orlando would be a top three team in the East this year. They've been a disappointment. Does Philly really, if you're in a playoff series against Philly, as good as Tyrese Maxey is, even if Embiid's healthy, do they really scare you if you have a healthy Tatum and Brown?
No.
Like, is that, Celtics should be favored in that series. So I look at it, and some of it is, look, if seeding works out and you get the Knicks in the second round, that's a tough series. I won't dispute that. But again, I feel like this: if Tatum comes back and you have all these other guys just doing what they're doing now, not anymore, why wouldn't you be in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Here's the one thing I wonder about that I can't foresee until we just see it play out. Given what Jaylen Brown is doing this year, what does the Jaylen Brown-Jason Tatum playing relationship look like when Tatum returns? Does it just return to being Tatum's team, where he's the guy that gets the last shot, where he's the guy that takes the ball up, where he dominates and gets to play the ISO game that he loves so much? Is there a quote-unquote new normal that they find with the two of each other? It's not something that I'm concerned about, because clearly they both value winning. They want to win, and they're going to do what it takes to win. But you can't just knock Jaylen Brown out of his MVP caliber season for the sake of adding Jason Tatum back into it. So I'm more fascinated than worried about that, but I can't help but be fascinated by it.
It's an interesting thing, and I think it's going to take a week or two for them to adjust. And the reason I say it won't take a month is because they've played so much basketball together before.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be shocked if Tatum comes back in the first 2 weeks, they're 500, and they're kind of figuring it out. What I think they're going to do is, and you heard Brad, because they never really acknowledged why they lost to the Knicks. Like, the only thing I heard was, I think Mazzulla, in his post-game press conference after Game 6, just said that the Knicks in Games 1 and 2 made some huge plays and some winning plays. So, kind of alluded. But one thing Brad Stevens talked about, and he talked about it when they drafted Ugo, is his cutting ability.
Yeah.
And he talked about the way Indiana and Oklahoma City played in the finals and how those are the two best teams. And look, they shot threes, obviously, but there was more movement. There was more inside shots.
We got to play faster.
And speed was an emphasis. So I think what you're going to see when Tatum comes back is them play that style, but then add in Jason Tatum in the past. And Jason Tatum's such a great, he can play any style. So I think it's just going to take a couple weeks for them to adjust. And then I think they're going to take off and they're going to be one of the best teams in the NBA.
The NBA trade deadline this year too, John, is something that really fascinates me because
What do you do? Because it's a great question, Dan. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm just really passionate about this because I understand that you want to stay under the second apron. And I don't scoff at those penalties. Some of them are real basketball penalties. But if we're also being honest with ourselves, $220 million extra dollars, I know they're billionaires, but that is a lot of money. Like, I don't scoff at that.
Yeah.
That's not the Red Sox maybe going $10 million over the luxury tax. Like, you're talking about over $200 million just in penalties. Like, that's
right.
Real.
For an owner that is just taking over, and that's the first bill you're paying, essentially.
But if I'm sitting here telling you that I think Tatum can get you to the Eastern Conference Finals just coming back with what you have, well, then if you add at the trade deadline, could you be in the NBA Finals?
I mean,
what this is all about?
If you add
isn't that what this is all about?
Because
I think there's a lot of people coming into the year, and I give Joe Mazzulla credit for this. A lot of people coming into the year were like, hey, this might be a fun team, but they might end up being a lottery team or a play-in team. And Mazzulla was like, no, we're not. And so now they're at a point where, again, as we talked about before, you bring back Tatum, I think you're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
So then if you add at the trade deadline, does that make you better than the Knicks? And then it comes down to, okay, even if you add at the trade deadline and you're better than the Knicks, are you better than OKC? Because OKC is a wagon. If let's say OKC gets upset by Houston, just say, throwing a team out.
Sure.
Are you better than Houston with, again, Kevin Durant, Amen Thompson? Like, that's a great team.
Yeah.
So that, to me, the trade deadline, to me, for the Celtics, might be the single most interesting front office dilemma in all of Boston sports in 2026. Because are you willing to go over the second apron to maybe win a championship? But even if you go over the second apron, are you still going to be good enough to beat one of those great teams in the West?
Because it's easy to argue, yeah, that you can probably count 3 to 4 teams in the West that you go, this team is better than the Boston Celtics, regardless of what you added to trade deadline.
And it's a great, because again, OKC's a wagon.
Yep.
OKC might win 70 games.
Right.
Denver, again, Jokic is going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks, but he comes back and it's Jokic, Gordon, and that's still a great team. I think Houston is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a believer in Luka Doncic, but he has been to the NBA Finals, and if he continues to roll and LeBron kind of has some magic in the playoffs, again, that's not an easy
what's the only team that has the antidote for the Oklahoma City Thunder this year? Wemby and San Antonio.
And that's a team, again, I know they're young, if you want. I don't know. Wembanyama in a 7-game NBA Finals, that's an uphill battle to beat.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really good team.
Right.
That's not just a, like, young team that's exciting on the come up. That's a really legitimately great team that can be in the NBA Finals. So that, to me, that's the dilemma here if you're the Celtics. I understand them not wanting to go over the second apron. I do. But do you miss a chance to be in the NBA Finals?
This is not a nuanced way of looking at your question that you ask. But if you can get yourself to the NBA Finals with Tatum and Brown again, there's still that overly optimistic side of me that goes, anything can happen in a 7-game series in the NBA Finals with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
And even look to when they won the championship. Dallas was a great team with Luka and Kyrie, but they were the 5 seed. Like, they upset OKC on their way there.
Yeah.
To get there. Like, you didn't think you were going to be playing Dallas in that series. And again, matchups happen. Like, maybe you play OKC in a hypothetical finals, but maybe it's Houston, right? Maybe it's Denver. Maybe it's LA. Maybe it's someone else. Like, that's why, again, if you have a real shot, and if they feel they have a real shot, I think you got to go for it. And again, I'm not saying you got to add a $30 million over the second apron to go nuts. And I know there's math that makes it tough to regard this. But I think it's such a great dilemma to have, but it is a real dilemma. This team is just, again, I think they're so much better than a lot of people thought they'd be.
No doubt about that. To the point we're even having this conversation about adding at the trade deadline. And if you can somehow, John, find the way, if you can thread the needle with the money that you're paying Anfernee Simons this season, who is an important piece that's coming off the bench, but wouldn't you deal Simons plus for something that can help address your front court?
And he's the guy, right? Because you think about it, you have, let's say Tatum comes back. He's a ball handler.
Yep.
Derek White's a ball handler. Peyton Pritchard's a ball handler. Jaylen Brown's a ball handler. So Simons is what, your fifth ball handler?
Yeah.
And what I'll say about Simons is there's been moments this year where they've needed him off the bench to win games, and he has.
Right.
Does that need diminish, though, when Tatum returns?
Because I think it almost evaporates.
Well,
when
then, because
returns,
then Pritchard's on the bench, right? Like, right. So then you kind of, so that's the salary guy to potentially get a big there. But again, he's part of a mix that's playing so well. That's part of this dilemma, too. Like, how much do you really want to upset a mix that is playing really well? I just look at it like, if you're in a playoff series against the Knicks, you need more than Nemus Kata as your only real big. And I know Luka Garza has been really good the past couple weeks. No offense to him. Am I really trusting? If you play the Knicks in the second round of the Eastern Conference Finals, am I really trusting him as your second big? And maybe I'll be wrong, but you need another big there. Again, Kata was your fourth big last year. Not an exaggeration. Your actual fourth big. Now he's your starter. He's played really well the past month and a half, 2 months. But you need more than him if you're going to beat the Knicks in a playoff series.
And this group deserves to be rewarded for what they're doing. They are playing a level of basketball that I don't think anybody saw coming this season. You have a bunch of young guys that are coming up and playing roles, Walsh chief among them. And so there are decisions to be made at, as you mentioned, maybe the single most important or interesting trade deadline for a Boston team that we've
And I would
seen
say front
since.
Office overall.
Yeah.
Like trade deadline or no trade deadline, that might be the sick. Because come next summer, let's say they're under the apron, they can do mostly whatever they want. Like, I know there's math involved, and the Red Sox will see what they do. The Patriots have an important offseason, but not more important than last year or the year before. And the Bruins are still 2 years away from being a real contender.
Yeah.
So, like, this Celtics trade deadline, again, single most interesting dilemma and thing to watch of any front office all year.
But with the flexibility that you have payroll-wise and with Brad Stevens leading the charge, the ultimate conclusion that I came to when I was thinking about this is you're in great shape in 2026.
Yeah.
You are in great shape to continue to be competitive almost regardless of what you do at the deadline. But we'll leave that conversation there because one member of the Boston Celtics was honored with a monthly award in the NBA, but it wasn't necessarily the one that we thought deserved an NBA award. We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We're back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I said this in David Ainsworth's ear. I think this is the Dodge Ram commercials. Built Ram tough. I think it was Sam Elliott narrating them. I don't know. This just hit a chord when I heard this. But we're back here on WEEI. Dan Ball, John Lyons, and injustice for Jaylen Brown, who scored 30 or more points in 9 of the 10 games he played in December, including a stretch of 9 consecutive 30-point games that tied Larry Bird for the longest such streak in Celtics franchise history. Remarkably, Brown's 9 30-point games in December matched his total from all of last season. He was the Eastern Conference Player of the Week twice in December, averaging a league-high 31.7 points per game, only player in the Eastern Conference to average at least 30 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists for the month. The only other players in basketball, John, that did that, Nikola Jokic, very good at basketball.
Pretty good.
And Luka Doncic, very good at basketball. Yeah. And yet he was not the Eastern Conference's Player of the Month in December.
Yeah, and it's funny because this is a guy that won Eastern Conference Finals MVP in 2024, NBA Finals MVP in 2024. So he's won those two prestigious awards.
Yep.
But then a bunch of other times in his career has been snubbed, whether it's all NBA teams, all defensive teams, the Olympic teams. And this is kind of just the next iteration of that. Like, you look at him compared to Brunson. Brown had more points per game in December, more rebounds per game, more steals per game, a higher field goal percentage by 6 points, a higher three-point percentage, a higher net rating by 5.
Yep.
Like a 6.9 net rating. 2 player of the weeks. Brunson had one. And they played head-to-head once. The Celtics beat the Knicks, and Brown had 42 points in that game. Brunson had 15. So it's like all these measures. Like, the only edge Brunson has, he had 7 assists per game, which was higher than Brown's 5. Everything else is in Brown's favor. The Celtics have played better than the Knicks in the month of December. They beat the Knicks head-to-head in the month of December. The only real difference is the Knicks, if you look at the Eastern Conference standings, are a game and a half ahead of the Celtics. But
right.
I don't know. I don't get it. Just feels like the next on the list of times that Jaylen Brown gets overlooked or snubbed. And I didn't think it would happen as much. And maybe this is me being naive, but I thought with Tatum out, that wouldn't happen this year. Like, when Tatum was here, and when I say here, when he was playing with Brown, sometimes Brown would get overlooked because he's playing with a top 5 player in the NBA. But now with that guy gone, and again, 2 player of the weeks, but Brunson gets, and it's, I know it sounds like a small thing, but Brown tweeted SMH. He's not happy about it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing for the Celtics because he'll just continue to be angry about it, and he plays well when angry. I don't know, but it just feels like another one of those snubs, and one that surprises me a little bit more, again, because he doesn't have the narrative of, oh, there's a top 5 player in the NBA with him.
So it's voted on combination of a panel of sports writers and broadcasters. So is there an anti-Boston slant in there somewhere? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not in the room. I can't report on that. But there are previous examples of awards of this caliber in which there has been a Boston candidate that has not been the one who wins. Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned
Brown could win the MVP.
He could.
And he's just not going to get and Paul Pierce talked about this. And he said, well, people hate the Celtics, and that's why Brown is not getting MVP chatter. And sometimes I don't like to go down that road, like, whoa, is, you know, they hate us, because there's something to this here. Because even you go back to Dan last summer, 2024, going in, and I say like a year and a half ago, going into that season, you had Kendrick Perkins saying no one's scared of the Boston Celtics.
Yep.
You had Brian Windhorst saying the Knicks are going to have a top 5 offense all time. You had guys on the TNT pregame show talking up the Knicks. And then the Knicks beat the Celtics in the playoffs, and there's a bunch of, like, I told you so's or celebrations and all that. And I get, look, the Knicks won the series, but it's like the Celtics are the team that have won a championship in the last 2 years. And Brown is the one that's playing at an MVP level without all these other guys from that championship team around him.
Right.
And it's like he's still not getting, I think, the deserved credit there.
Yeah, find me a positive clip from an ESPN studio show, yeah, clip from a formerly TNT studio show about what what Jaylen Brown's doing, what the Celtics did. The only storyline to come out, or the main storyline to come out, of even when they built up that super roster, and you couldn't poke a hole anywhere in the roster construction of the Celtics, was, oh, they're soft. Oh, they're just, you know, they're playing a cupcake schedule. Oh, they're, you know, the reality is going to come back and bite them. There wasn't a whole lot from a positive perspective on an organization that built an incredible team, has an incredible leader of their basketball operations department, but it does seem to be easy. And you know you're going to get clicks from it. If you go negative against a team in Boston and you go negative against the Celtics, maybe that's part of the design. That's the Cam Newton level of, hey, I need you to go negative against Drake May here. Maybe there is something to that. I don't know. But there should have been more for a guy who, by the definition of the term most valuable player, most valuable to your team, is doing things that I don't think a lot of people thought was
And I think, and by the way, too, like, if we're going to be fair here, it's not just the Celtics. Like, OKC doesn't get talked about enough at a national level. Like, last year, Indiana did not get talked about enough at a national level. Like, some of these national, like, they want the Lakers and the Knicks to be good. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay? But that doesn't have to come at the expense of, like, these other great teams and great stories. And we see it year after year. Like, again, Jaylen Brown was on the MVP ladder on NBA.com, which is significant. But, I mean, from a most valuable perspective, SGA, Jokic, and Jaylen Brown, to me, this year have been the top three from a value standpoint. And Jokic is now, because he's going to miss a month, I think he'll be below that 65-game threshold, so he won't win MVP. So SGA's been great.
Yep.
But even as great as SGA has been, he's working with a team that just won a championship. Jaylen Brown's working with a lot of guys that he's either never played with before or played with in a limited capacity.
Yeah.
Like, the only guy he's played a lot of basketball with before this year is Derek White and Peyton Pritchard.
He's working with more main Celtics than NBA champions this year is what he's doing.
So, again, I'm not saying SGA shouldn't win the MVP, but, like, Jaylen Brown should be right in that conversation. And he just hasn't been enough. And I think this is another piece of evidence of that.
But Jaylen Brown is a smart individual, very intelligent, hears a lot, internalizes a lot. And if this is going to be the kind of thing that he can or will choose to use as motivation to continue to raise double guns to the crowd that doubted him, I am all for that as a fan of the Boston Celtics. And I think he's done it before. I think he's currently doing it this season, and I think he could do it again as he tracks down an MVP. We'll leave the Celtics conversation there and get back to the New England Patriots. Speaking of MVP, there may be another in the Boston sports mist. We'll talk about Drake May next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1,000,000%. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.